doing Shmuel Aleph, we're in Perek Aleph, we're going to continue with Pasuk Gimel. We touched upon it last week, but let's see it one more time. Pasuk says, V'Allah Ha'ish Hahu, that this person went up. This is referring to Elkanah, as we saw. We talked about the word Allah, doesn't mean necessarily he physically went up, could be he went up spiritually. Me'iro, from his original location where he was. Miyamim Yamima, we're going to translate that. It's going to be a machlokas rash in the Radak. Whether it's every year, we talked a little bit about this last week, or is it even maybe every moed, all of the Shal Shregalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And then the pasuk says, Lishtachavos Lizvayach, that they went, he went down to bow down and also to give sacrifices. We'll see the significance of that order as well in the Radak in a moment. Lashem Savokos B'Shiloh. So he went to Shiloh. Obviously, there's no base of Mikdash yet. That's where the Mishkan was. Visham, and in Shiloh there were Shnei B'nai Eli. In addition to Eli, he had two sons, namely Chofni U'Finchas Kohanim LaHashem. So those were, blessed, those were two of Pinchas' children. Blessed, we'll see that they may not have been the most righteous of children.
How do they tell that from the Pasuk?
From what?
I know that they're not supposed to be the best of boys.
We'll see that soon.
Now the question that
we'll see that in the psukim thereafter.
The question I have again, I mean, is further with this, is why does it say Chofni and Pinchas Kohanim Hashem? We should have said Kohanim. Why does it say Kohanim Hashem? People know what Kohanim are.
True. That's a good point. Maybe knowing that there are such bad people, it's a chiddush that they're Kohanim Hashem. That's possible.
Well, maybe they strutted around and told everybody that they're priests of Hashem.
If they're strutting around saying it, they would have said it. But I don't know.
Okay, well, it's something to think about. So we also saw this Rashi, but it's very worthwhile seeing because this is Sefer Shmuel. We have to understand not just who Shmuel was, but where he came from. Elkanah obviously had to be been a tremendous tzaddik. So Rashi says over here, in the middle of the Rashi on Pasuk Gimel, where it says Umedrash Agada, and in parentheses it says Koheles Rabba, it says Bederech Shahay Ola B'Shanazud, the way that he would go up to Shiloh every year, Lo Haya Ola B'Shanacheres. He did not go the same way every year. He went different routes, and it says Kedei, and the reason for this was in order Hashmiya Yisrael V'Yasu Kamoso, that he should try to inspire people and constantly talk to them, and hopefully they would do just like he was doing. Apparently not a lot of people at a certain point were going to Shiloh, and he was trying to turn that around for people to start being Ola Regel, or at least maybe going once a year. I'd like to share with you a very fascinating Yalkut on this, which gives a little more of an insight as to the life of Elkanah and what he was doing. So just share with you just a few words. It's not in our packet. But the Yalkut says like this. Elkanah, the Ishto, Vana, the Chosav, the whole Krovav, his entire family, Hayimal Imo, they would go up with him. Uvoyin Balonin Brachova Shoir. Fascinating. He would not go into a 5-star hotel, even though the Rashi says that they would go to different locations. He didn't go into a hotel. Brachova Shoir literally means he would camp out in the middle of the street, in the middle of the corner, the square. And why would he do this? Because people would look at him, and he was a great man. People knew this was no simple man. People would ask, what are you doing, and where are you going? This is very strange behavior. Where are you going? And he would say, says the Alchem, Lebeis Hashem Shibashilo, I'm going to Shiloh. Right? That's where I'm going. Shibasham Teitzit Torah Mitzvos. And from there, Torah and Mitzvos come forth. Then he asked the people who asked the question, this is like an icebreaker, the Atam, and you guys, why don't you come with us? We'll come together, right? Why should it only be my family? Join us. Miyad immediately says the Yalkut, immediately, Nehem, Mishkaros, Demos, their eyes were filled with tears. He said, let me go with you. Apparently, just saying a nice kind word to another person or a stranger can make a tremendous impact. The Omrim Lehen, Hain, and they said, yes, come. So what happened? This is what the Yalkut says. How many people was he able to inspire to come? It wasn't so great at first. Ad l'shana haba, When it came to the next year, Chamisha Batim, five families. He was able to get five people to join him, five families. So not very impressive. But he never lost hope. He never said, you know what, what's the point? Just five, forget it. No. We build on five. Lashana Cheres, the next year is Sarah. There was 10. It doubled. Sarah Batim. Ad Shahayu Kulam Olim, until at the very end, everyone went up.
The reason why he didn't go the same way every year.
Right.
He may have been getting different groups of people.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because the people that went this way, he went last year, he already inspired them. Right. So what's the point? It'd be a waste for me to go that way because they're all coming anyway. So therefore, exactly, that would, to borrow that, those words into this medrash of which was found in Rashi, that's the reason why he would go different ways, specifically so as to constantly influence people to go to Shiloh. But again, the critical reading of the Yalkut, it says, Ad Shahayu Kulam Olim. So he was instrumental in getting from basically no one being Olo Lerego, going up to Shiloh, to everyone doing it. So that was quite an impressive jump from a few to everyone. And that's how we discussed last week with a little Pasuk Gimel, that we said the difference between a person who is going to the city of refuge and a person who's going to Yerushalayim. So when it comes to the city of refuge, there's huge signs every single few feet. Go this way, city of refuge this way, Eir Miklat over there. It's because we are not interested in that person having a conversation. Just go. We don't want you to ask where is it, because then people are going to think, oh, this is a murderer. This is a sinner. May inspire you to do crimes yourself. However, when it comes to being Olo Regel, or in this case to Shiloh, in this particular situation, we do the opposite. We want you to be engaged in conversation. And that's what Elkanah did as well. He constantly did strange things, sitting out, sleeping out in the middle of the street, like a homeless man, with his whole family, in order for people to ask the question, what are you doing? And based on that conversation, he was able to inspire all of Klal Yisrael ultimately to go to Yerushalayim. So that was the greatness of what he was able to do. But not to get discouraged.
Not to
Yerushalayim. No, to Shiloh. Right. Okay. Now, let's look at the words Miyomim Yamima. In Pasuk Gimel, which again we touched upon this, Miyomim Yamima, it's translated here as from year to year. That's how it's translated in English. But the reality is we see it's not... Not everyone agrees to that, including Rashi. Rashi, if we go the same Rashi, but above where it says the Medrash Agada, it says the Va'ol Ha'ish, it says, what was Va'ol Ha'ish? Ha'ya Ola Mizman Moed L'Moed L'Shiloh. He would go from one Moed to the next. Moed sounds like a holiday, probably, the Shalosh Regalim. That's what it sounds like. That it wasn't just a year trip, but the pilgrimage apparently was comparable to Yerushalayim also when he went to Shiloh. We look at the words of the Radak. The Radak says, Miyamim Yamima is Shana L'Shana, every single year, once a year. So as we touched upon, I'm not going to read this inside, but this is there's a machlokes that's brought down over here in the Sefer Panim Yafos by the Hafla, whether or not the mitzvah being Olel or Regel, three times a year, also is the same thing as going to Shiloh. So according to the opinion of Rashi, that says it was Moed L'Moed, so he's learning that the same obligation of going to Yerushalayim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, applied even then, in the days of when there was no Beis Hamikdash, there was merely a Mishkan in Shiloh. However, according to the way the Radak has also brings down the interpretation of Rashi, the second answer, but if it's once a year, it's just, you go. You can go, but you don't have to go. The obligation, the mitzvah, is not the same as going to Yerushalayim. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even it's a Targum, the Targum Yonah, that also says...
That what?
It says Moyed Lemoyed.
Right.
He doesn't disagree, it just says... Himself doesn't know. He's not sure which one it is.
Right. It's not clear. Again, the Mepharshim say that could be based on this machlokas, whether or not there's an obligation to go more than once a year. Okay. If we look at that next redak, which is I don't think is underlined, l'shtachavos, the pasuk says that he went l'shtachavos v'lizboach. This is what Elkanah did. So he went to bring sacrifices and to bow down. L'spalet ne'ashem.
It's more important.
Oh, exactly. That's what he says. Lizboach shem zevach hamoed. If we jump down one line, v'rabbanan amri chaviv tefila yos mikol karbanos. Greater is davening even more than bringing carbon. Of course, without the Beis Hamikdash, this.
Let's learn that the karbanos itself, the only reason we had them was because men had to do something, and just praying wasn't enough for them. They needed the ritual of the karbon, and Hashem really didn't want the karbanos, but it was something that he did to placate men.
Okay, yeah. And that's very good.
Was more important than...
Clear, and that's absolutely correct. That's correct. And somehow the Radak sees this in the Pasuk. Tichsiv, because what does the Pasuk say?
I mean, it can be a little anthropological if you want, to say that they were used to animals in those days. They were used to animal sacrifices. You had to placate
Cain and Hevel.
You had it was the Havdol. Now the Havdol that you have to, you know, certain rituals
in Christianity
is to placate the pagan rituals.
They did the same thing.
They were doing things. They were doing sacrifice. They were doing human sacrifice. They had to get away from
them. So they went from one to the other.
Yeah, that's very possible. And the other idea that we talk about when it comes to, let's say, kaporis, that we take this animal, this bird, whatever, it's not the idea that your sins go to it, but you look at it and you say, whatever happens to this, it should happen to me.
It's Rambam's interpretation of kaporis.
So the karbonos is actually like an external stimuli that you can look at to maybe inspire you.
That should be me, but the ultimate is that they really feel that
when you touch the bird right there, that's actually all you see.
You're transferring everything.
It doesn't mean you can you're scot free.
But in their mentality, that's what they.
No, but it's not the transfer of the sins to the animal.
But the Rambam
sings on Korbanos is that you're saying not you're transferring the sins of them. He says that's what should really be happening to me. I should be the
Korban.
The one who should be sacrificed.
But that all that is just external. What's greater is the tefillah, which comes from Bodesh Belev. That's within, which is ultimately the purpose of those karbanos. Obviously, we want to have a Beis Hamikdash, but the reality is we have something which even is greater than the karbanos. And this is how the Radak reads this, the chsiv, because it says, L'shtachavos, v'achar kach l'zboach. Interesting, Elkanah, he went to Shiloh, first to bow down, which means to prostrate to Davin, and then, by the way, once I'm here, all right, I'll also bring some sacrifices. But the order of the Pasuk, according to the way the Radak is reading it, shows that this is what's more important. Mm. Davening, and then afterwards the Karbanos, even in those days. That's how it was viewed upon.
Even, if I'm not mistaken, even going back to the Karbanos again, even the Karbanos would have to have...
When we
spoke about Kohanim Hashem, right? If you go to Mitzvah David, right?
Yeah.
That's Kohanim. I don't. There's one word I don't understand.
Where is it? Kohanim Ratzalom or
yeah.
Sagani HaKohuna.
What's Sagani mean?
Sagan Kohen is like a deputy, second command.
They were okay.
Because their father was.
They were taking over for it.
I couldn't figure out what that word was. Okay.
Right. Ki Eliyavihim Shemesh Bekonu.
He's getting old at this point.
Right. So we'll see that shortly.
Could it mean that what they're saying over here, the two of them were acting like the Kohen HaGadol because they felt their father. They were taking away the cover from the father, who was still the Kohen HaGadol.
That could very well be. We're going to see that, as you said, Eli's going to get older, and he's going to end up not giving Musar to his two children for making mistakes, as we'll see, but part of it is because he really wasn't aware, because they just dominated and took so much control above and beyond what they were supposed to do. So that could be absolutely Kohanim Hashem. Okay, good. Let's continue with Pasuk Dalet. Vayehi hayom v'yizbach Elkanah. So it was on that particular day, we'll see what that means in a second, and Elkanah brought his sacrifices. Ishto. So he provided for Penina, his wife, and of course Penina had so many children, 10 to be exact. We'll see what happens to them tragically later on. But nonetheless, while they were there, he gave them manos, wonderful gifts and portions based on those sacrifices. Now, if we look over here in the Radak points out on here in Pasuk Dalet the significance of the word Vayihayom. Vayihayom, Yom Moed. Yom is singular. There was one particular day. And it doesn't really specify what that day was. But the Medrash Shmuel says, quoting the words of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ze Yoma Shel Atzeres. This is referring to Shavuos. So why does he say it's Shavuos? Because the pasuk says Vayihayom, which implies that the time that he went up to Shiloh was a one-day holiday, which is Shavuos. Because if it would have been Pesach, if it would have been Sukkot, then it would have been longer. So according to the Radak, he learns the word Hayom means that this time specifically was Shavuos, which again is difficult because, as we know, one of the reasons why we read this Bedavka on Rosh Hashanah is because she was answered specifically in Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, did this happen on Rosh Hashanah? That makes it easier, that answer. If it was Shavuos, then you have to understand that this happened in Shavuos and this episode continued on a little bit thereafter.
This is one of the Meladim.
It couldn't be.
It's one of the Meladim. Right. Rosh Hashanah is not one of the Meladim. It's not.
Oh, right. Exactly. That's another good point.
Rosh Hashanah is not one day. Anyway, wouldn't be Hayom.
Right.
Rosh Hashanah wouldn't be Hayom.
Rosh Hashanah is also not one of the Shoshana.
It's not one of the Meladim. So okay.
Right. Which is the question: why did they go? If it was Rosh Hashanah, then they shouldn't have gone.
Right.
Exactly. They would have not have gone for Rosh Hashanah. Which is another reason why he chooses Atzeres as opposed to a shorter Yom Tov like Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so fine. So that's basically all I have to say about Pasuk Gimel. Let's move on to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Dal. Let's move on to Pasuk K. Pasuk K says, Elchana Yitein Mana Acha. So Penina had her nice little gifts, and Chana was given Mana Achas. So if we remember, the end of this pasuk shows how much she was loved. And one of the ways that we learned last week was that Chana deserved to really have children because her name, her essence, is Chala Nida Hadlakas Haner. And the only reason why a woman would not have a child is maybe she didn't do those. But so why was she not able to have a child? Because he asked Chana Ohev, she was loved, could mean by her husband, and it could also mean by Hashem. Hashem Sogarachma. For whatever reason, Hashem closed her womb, but not because she didn't have the merits of being able to have a child. So it says over here that not only did Elkanah give to Penina, but he also gave to Chana just as well. So we look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mana achas apayim, that he gave one portion. Roy liskabel b'sever panim yafos, which can literally translate as he gave a nicer portion, as it says in the Targum Chad Bachir, something which a chosen portion, which would lighten up your face, which would make you happy. Which some people look at the words of this Rashi, b'sever panim yafos, is not necessarily that Elkanah gave her a portion which would make her happy, but it's not only what you give, but it's how you give it. And therefore, when he gave it to her, knowing how much pain she was going through, seeing Penina with all of her children, Chana unable to have any children, he was able to show greater levels of sensitivity, and he gave her a smile. He cared about her and made her feel loved.
The Sansino translates it differently.
Yes.
they give a different explanation. They say Tachana, it was a double portion. They actually translate it as a double portion.
Yes.
And they translate Apayim as meaning two sides of a face.
Ah.
So that was the double portion.
I see.
That's
right.
That's how they had.
Very good.
What do you mean two sides of the face?
In other words, I'll read the English. The translation is based on a literal render of the Hebrew as one portion, two-faced. That's how you would translate the word apayim. But the word apayim, although dual in form, is elsewhere used only for a singular face. And so he's saying, they say, the Hebrew phrase is difficult to obscure, but it seems like it was, according to Sansino, he gave a double portion. Because the word apayim is two sides of the face.
Okay. Okay, very good. If we look at the Radak, it's fine. The Radak, yeah, go ahead.
No, they're saying, what's the word, why they use saying apayim, which means two sides of the face. And to the other one, it gave a portion.
Apayim also means double.
Okay,
you
so that's...
the word apayim is double. I mean, okay, so root, that's... the shoresh is comes so to the face, but it's, you use the usual use of the word when you find the thing. Apayim is...
So she's getting twice as much as Penina.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but that's...
We have a thing on the two-faced part. I don't get that. Understand what? But that's supposed to.
That's in other words, the first portion says she only gets one portion.
This side of the face, you got another side.
I mean, it's almost like a
double face.
You know, it's almost pejorative to you know.
Well, they're saying
a good side and a bad side.
They're saying one. He gave a portion to. Why aren't they using the same words for Chana as for Penina?
That's not how the
rabbi translated it.
Maybe I should have translated it double.
The rabbi translated it as apayim getting a single portion, but he seemed to have liked Chana more.
I see Pshat. The Pshat translation of apayim means he gave it twice. He gave it to him. Mono achas. Apayim, he gave her a portion.
So we'll, how does Rashi translate it? Chul chad bachir. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Which doesn't really sound like a double portion. It sounds like a nicer could mean more. It could also mean a higher quality of the same, whatever.
It's definitely he favored Chana over Penina.
Absolutely. So the question is, did he give just double, or did he give something a nicer? Right, but certainly
it's like having a steak or a piece of flanca, you know, a piece of a wing, you know, I don't know.
That's how I think Rashi is maybe reading it.
That what?
Instead of having a steak, you know, a rib steak or to a
what is, what is the English translation?
It translates as a double portion. That is how it's translated. But I'm not sure if that's...
I mean, that's...
Okay, so
that's how the Sforno translates.
Yeah, that's
okay. So translation you gave is a single portion. Okay.
All right. So go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, what, he didn't give it willingly to Penina? It was no dislike to Penina. Obviously,
right. Just like one more than the other.
So he gave one just plain the other
one? No, he gave one a nice portion and he gave one a nicer portion.
I think we should just
he's showing over here. He's showing favoritism.
Whichever way you want to throw it, those he's still showing favoritism.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's look at how the Radak says. The Radak says something actually a little bit different, maybe, than that. The Radak does say first that Ratzalom or Mana Haruya Liskabel B'Sefer Panim Yafos, which is what Rashi basically says. But then, if you look at the second and last line, it says V'Adoni Avi Zichrono L'Vracha, my father said, this is a pshat. What does it mean, apayim? It doesn't mean faces or double portion. It means what? The word af, kas, anger. He gave it with some level of anger. What do you mean? Why would he be angry at this poor woman who's distraught and so much pain, not having a child? Beautiful Radak. Kolomar bekas haya nosin la mana achas levad. He didn't give a double portion. He only gave one. But when it's so, why does it say a apayim, which maybe has the meaning, a possible meaning of a double portion? He only gave one, but he gave it with af, with an anger. What was the anger? Lefi, says the Radak, Shehashem Yisbarach Sagras Rachma. That's the connection of the rest of the Pasuk. Read the rest of the Pasuk. I gave one apayim with anger, Ki Eschana Ohev, because I love her so much. Hashem Sagar Rachman. For some reason, Hashem is not allowing her to have a child. This is the Radak. I gave Penina so many portions because she has so many kids. I wish I could do the same thing for my wife Chana. He was distressed and bothered by this and angered. He loved her so much. He desired that children should come forth from her. So again, going back to the pasuk, the way the Radak reads this beautifully is Lachana yitin mana achas. He only gave one gift. That's what it says, mana achas, one, but it was a paim. He was upset when he only was.
It was his.
Because he wished he didn't only have to give one. He loved her so much. Hashem Sagarachma, why did Hashem close her womb? Why couldn't she have children? So he gave it to her with a feeling of, why? Why is this happening?
He's very interesting because he gives his source from the Shloshes Esrei Midos. Kelev Chapayim. Before that,
that's where the word comes from. Hapayim is,
but that's what
Hashem
thinks,
is slow to.
Basically, there should be a comma after the word.
Oh, Erech Hapayim, right.
Erech Hapayim.
Basically, right. What you're saying, there should be a comma after Mona Achas. He gave her one.
Right.
Basically
that's what he gave, and it was a paim.
That's how
he gave it.
Like, right.
That's his feelings of how he gave it, yeah. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but how do we come up with this thing? If it says that here is Elkanah, who's a tzaddik, who's a praying to God and
right.
All the stuff around him.
He's angry with
Hashem. God that he's giving her that thing.
He's angry with Hashem.
Yeah. He's angry with her.
He thinks it this way, I think it's
yeah.
No, but Hashem is that he gets is from the word apayim. And
but
his source from Apayim is another part of the Torah where it says.
But it depends how you read the pasuk. If you stop at the word Mona Achas, then I can understand the second interpretation.
Yeah.
But if you don't stop at that, it's Mona Achas Apayim.
But is there where else do you see Apayim as meaning double? I mean, there's other places where Apayim is also is. Right?
Where?
I'm saying, I mean, you say a pime, you have always translated it as twice. But here he's bringing a raya of.
What
I love about this Radak is that it shows that. Similar to Rav Soloveitchik.
Yeah.
It's not just some guy,
some
spiritual guy, but this is a person who actually had feelings, had emotions.
It
wasn't in a vacuum. He had feelings. He
was a different dimension in the whole in the pshat of the puzzle.
He can feel.
7:30.
You said 7:30. That's what you call 8:00.
Yes.
The card for next. The card for next week says 8:00.
We'll review. We'll review what we've done. Okay.
I'm hanging around like a girl in my house. It's 8:00.
We're glad you're here.
You're almost done.
All right. Okay.
And food to this story.
No, the good stuff's coming.
Twice as many pesukim this week.
Where's the food?
I want to be able to see two more pesukim as well. These next two pesukim were unbelievable. So pasuk vav, we're at the pasuk vav. Okay, we didn't turn the page yet, so we're still on page 2. Pasuk vav. V'kiasta sarasa gam ka'as. So it says that her rival, sarasa, as the Masudah Sion chants, is shtei nashim, when there's two women, mi'ishechad, tikren at saros. V'hum aloshin sar ve'oyev. There's tension and there are adversaries between the two. Chances are you're not going to care so much about the other wife. So that's the reason why she's called Sarata. So anyway, there was Penina, who was the Sarasa, also had this level of kas, but here it's translated as more of a provoking. Bavor harima. And the reason why she did this was to try to agitate and irritate Chana. Ki sagar Hashem ba'ad rachma, because Hashem had closed her womb. So we'll see in a second what she used to do that was so painful. But let's just see one more pasuk. V'chein yaseh shana v'shana. She did this year after year after year. Midei alosa beveis Hashem. Every time, says the Sudas Sion, midei is chuzman. All the time that they went up to beis Hashem to Shiloh. Kain tachisena. That's what she did. Penina would constantly provoke Chana. And how did Chana feel? How did she react? V'tivchena v'lo soichal. So v'tivcha, she cried v'lo soichal. She didn't eat. Which some people, when they're depressed, they binge, right? They eat. Some people, like Chana, she didn't eat. She lost her appetite. She didn't even have an appetite. And that's what was going on. So unfortunately, Penina was apparently extremely cruel to her. To Chana. Now, what exactly did she say? What was it that was so bad? Now, it's not written over here exactly what she said, but I'd like to share with you a yalkut, exactly what was going on behind the scenes. It's only two lines. It's not in your packet.
Now, why didn't Elkanah say anything to Bina?
With regard to what? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
What stupid guy is going to get in between two fighting women?
Think
about it.
They're
going to get into something they have to work out themselves.
He obviously didn't know.
Because he says
he's asking her, what is your problem? Why are you upset? And what is your thing? So he doesn't know what's going on.
That's right. The next pasuk, which we did not yet see, he's gonna question why she's so upset.
But this was going on year after year.
Right.
Yeah, so he didn't know.
I'm saying so. But this happened every year.
Right.
Okay. Let's go.
So he doesn't know.
So we'll see. We might not get to that, but we'll see that pasuk, understand what he was really asking, assuming that maybe he did know.
It's exactly what women say. The guy's on the side. The guy's not sensitive.
That's right.
Men are not
sensitive. There you go. So, okay. So the Yalkut says like this. This is what happened. Omer Abnachman Bar Abba, Hoysa Penina Mishkamas V'Omer L'Chana, she would get up early and say the following to Chana. Ein at omedes, why are you just sitting around? Why aren't you standing up? Why aren't you washing the faces of your children and getting them ready? It's time to go to school. I have 10 kids. I'm running. I'm making lunches. I'm changing clothes. What are you doing? You're just sitting there. Whoops, I forgot. You don't have any kids. My bad. And then the Yalkut says, "V'sheish shos." That's how long the school was, only 6 hours. Ha'isa Marisla, around that. She would say, "Chana, ein at omedes. What are you sitting around for? Shouldn't you stand up and mekabelus manecha? Get your kids. Shelva meisa sefer. It's time. Right? They're coming home from school. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Carpool.
You don't have any kids. That's what Penina used to say, which is unbelievably cruel. Which is, how could she say such a thing? So over
she's
here,
she's an overworked mother.
No, come on.
She had ten kids. She had a lot of children.
She had a little bit of anger there.
Could be. Now, this is perhaps the most unbelievable Rashi. Rashi over here, which doesn't tell us the entire Gemara, which makes it even more difficult. But if you going back to page two, the very last line of Rashi, Ba'avor. Harima, what exactly did she do to she provoked in this way, which is a terrible thing to say. But listen to this Rashi. Rabbi Seinu Amru, our rabbis teach us, it's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Bavur Harima, in order, not that she should just feel bad, but in order that she should cry out to Hashem, Shetispale, that she should, Chana should daven for a child. And then it says, L'shem Shemaim Nischavna. Penina provoked Chana L'shem Shemaim. She did it for the sake of heaven. She did it L'shem Shemaim. Because Chana, that's unbelievable. But that's what the Gemara says. That Chana didn't have children. She said, I'm never going to have a child. So I'm comfortable with my lot in life. And Penina is saying, don't be comfortable. daven. So she kept pushing and pushing and pushing until finally she davened. And of course, she did daven.
I like it.
She told us she had potential.
Penina, but it was Penina that caused Chana to daven. Mm. And that's why Shmuel was born. It was really Penina that had this happen. So it was a terrific thing that she did. Now, some people explain, I don't remember who said this, but my Rosh Hashiva always used to quote it. How does the Gemara know it's L'Shem Shemayim? How do you know it's L'Shem Shemayim? Where do we see anywhere in the Pesukim that she did this L'Shem Shemayim? So the answer is that no one could ever be so cruel unless you can possibly justify it by thinking what you're doing is L'Shem Shemayim. So the most dangerous people in the world are the people that hide behind God, religion. I'm doing it for the right reason, I'm doing it for the right reason. And if you have that feeling, you can do anything. You can take a plane and crash into a building. I'm doing it for God. God told me to do it. It's L'Shem Shemayim. So some people interpret it as Penina honestly felt that she was doing the right thing to the point that that's the only way a person could ever be so cruel. Now what's fascinating about that Gemara in Bava Basra, which I didn't bring, is that the Gemara only says that Penina was L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara over there actually says there was a second person. Second, there's two things that are L'Shem Shemayim. Penina, the Gemara, you can look it up. I don't have it here. And Satan, Satan, is L'Shem Shemayim. So the Gemara, that's the same
Gemara.
Right. The Satan and Penina was L'Shem Shemayim. So what do you mean? Satan, the Yetzer Hara, is L'Shem Shemayim? Right, what's the pshat in that? So the way that I often explain the idea of the Akedas Yitzchak is that, you know, there's this whole element of the struggle of the Satan who's trying to stop Avraham Avinu from performing this tremendous, tremendous Nisaya to pass it. And he said, what are you doing? You're going to kill your child. You know, you'll have no one left. The Torah says, Ki Yitzchak Kol Chazara, you're supposed to have a child. Klai Yisrael is supposed to come from this one. So what is exactly the Satan? So the Gemara in Shabbos says that the Satan is the same as the Malchamavas, is the same as the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is Satan. Most people think the Satan is some guy with a pitchfork and a pointed tail and a red suit. The Satan, the Yetzer Hara, Satan is inside you. It's your self-destructiveness, your willingness to destroy and not do what you should be doing. And therefore, what does it mean that the Satan was L'Shem Shemayim? Is because I don't want to feel that I'm a bad person. I don't want to look in the mirror and say, I'm a Russian. So therefore, if I do something wrong, what am I going to think? It's okay. I'm doing it. It's all right. It's a mitzvah. Or it's all right. It's no big deal. No one's looking. So the Yetzer Hara is, in fact, always L'Shem Shemayim. Doesn't mean it's really L'Shem Shemayim. But that's how you rationalize yourself. To say, I'm still a good guy, so I'll just do this thing wrong. That's what the Yetzer Hara does. And that's also how some explain what Penina wished to do. Now, we're going to end up seeing, not in these psukim, that as we said, Penina had 10 children. Chana had 0. What ended up happening, as the Chazal tell us, is that every time Chana had a child, Penina lost two children. So when she had her first child, she lost two. And then when Chana had her first child,
Chana had Shmuel.
Penina had lost two of her children. And then she had another child, which we don't really know about. She lost another two. Chana had another child, 3. She lost another two. So now we're up to 3 and 6. Chana had another child, 4. And Penina lost, so now she was down to two. I miscalculated at one point.
No, 6 and 2.
Because every child, right? So she once Chana had 4 children. Chazal tell us, Penina
was left with 2.
Am I saying this correctly? This is after Shmuel. I apologize. This is after she had Shmuel. And therefore, Chana had 5, and Penina only had 2 children left, and she was mispalel that her children shouldn't die. So therefore, when this happened, I was wrong. This is how it was. I should have looked it up. including Shmuel, she had four children. And when Chana had four children,
she lost eight.
And now she was pregnant with her fifth child, and she chapped that Penina was going to lose her other two. And then she was mispalel, please don't allow this to happen. Why didn't she daven the first time or the second time? I don't know.
She didn't get the concept.
I guess she didn't get it after the first four times.
Penina daven.
Chana was mispalel that Penina should be.
Why Chana wasn't mispalel the first time?
The first
time,
whatever, that I don't know. There's some type of...
She didn't get it. Oh.
So Chana really only had five children. But Chana's known for having seven. But two of them were really Penina's because it was the schus of her tefillah that the fifth child, right, that those other two were spared. Okay. Now, with that said, the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked, this is an unbelievable kasha he asked, this doesn't make any sense. If in fact she was L'shem Shemayim, Penina wanted her to daven, and she did. And she davened such an incredible tefillah that Shmuel was born. So then why would she be punished? How could Hashem punish her in such an incredible way to lose eight of her children? She didn't want to kill anyone.
No,
she was just nasty. She was
but, nasty. But the way she said it, she was like...
There may have been nicer ways to do it.
That's right.
There may have been more ways to do something. You take her to the side and say...
More than that,
I'm saying, well, maybe it's something that there's some way that we can rationalize that she did something wrong, but what did the children do wrong?
That's another question. That's a very good question. We don't know.
But you give two interpretations of L'shem, what is L'shem Shemayim. One is that she meant it L'shem Shemayim.
Right.
And the other thing is that it became L'shem Shemayim.
Sometimes we think we're doing things L'shem Shemayim. But maybe it really wasn't.
It wasn't that
she was a really bad person. She was practicing
radical Judaism.
This certainly was radical. The Pesukim do look as she's not a good person. There's no kafsus here in the end of the Pesuk that even an indication that there's anything good about Penina.
Right.
She married he had to have seen something good in her.
Right.
But I'm saying this whole interaction with Chana
was not a good thing.
The appearance is a very negative appearance.
But
it's
there had to be something
thing.
Good about her. They would have
okay, yeah. Now what I'm saying, if you start, if you look shot on the thing, it's that, you know, something happened, and then after that she's punished, it is because she aggravated Chana. And Chana had to go, and she was misfallen because of her thing of tefillah. She finally had a child, but it was in spite.
There's another message, and I'm not saying it as a joke. You can't put two women in the same kitchen. You just can't do it.
Two is not good. Four is good.
Four is probably better.
That's why you can marry. Four is because three, two against one, and then it says four is two and two.
Two and a half is murder.
There is a gemara on that. The person should not have three wives or two wives. Four wives because two are going to befriend each other.
Two things I want to say, you were saying before about the Satan being also the Mekatrei.
Yes.
It goes along perfectly with the internalization of the Satan.
Yes.
Because after all, and say like when the Navi comes to David and tells him what he did wrong,
yeah.
You know, so he says, so he doesn't tell him what you did in this wrong. He tells him, what would you do if somebody did this and this? Somebody had one lamb, you know, when you took away his only lamb. And then he gives a psak. And he says, Atayish. And then we're told that Bishat Hadin, that what usually happens to what happens to a person is that they're presented with things that they did, which they don't recognize the things that they did, and they make their own zera of how the punishment should be. Right. So essentially that each person is their own Mekatrei. But when I say about two women together, I always say that that if with polygamy, that if a man has one wife, he has a malkah. You know, if he has two wives, then he can be a malkot.
that could also be part of the whole institute. One of the reasons of the whole institution of Rabbeinu Geshem of ushering polygamy is because it creates terrible midos between two people. Why would you want two people to have such?
My father would say that in Yiddish, that Rabbeinu Geshem should be the less we can make.
I mean, this is like you underline the word sarata, which is the word that the Gemara always uses for that relationship.
Right.
And essentially, that when there's what it does is if there are multiple wives, it's sarata, it sort of makes the each of them walk the straight and narrow. Means to know that there's somebody, you know, if I do
right.
something wrong, he goes to hut tonight.
Right. I hear that. So I want to share with you the words of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains the difference between an avera ben adam lemakom and an avera ben adam lechavera. Hashem understands if you do something wrong, that there's so many different layers. Was it on purpose? Not on purpose? When it comes to an avera ben adam lechavera, it makes absolutely no difference. Whatever you did, if you harmed a person, if you hurt a person, you're going to be punished. And the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that this is comparable. He says, if this is just as, where is this line? He compares it, Kishem Sha'esh Nisrefes Bederech HaTeva. He says that in the event, if a person sticks his hand into a fire, but his kavana is not to get burned. I do not want to get burned. I need to put my hand in for some other reason. But I do not want to get burned. Guess what? You're going to get burned. It doesn't make a difference.
Sure.
So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says that's the exact same thing. When you do an avera ben adam lechavera, when you harm another person, even if you are on the great madrega of panina, that it was l'shem shemayim, but if the other party was hurt because of what you did, you're going to be punished. And therefore, it's possible that both can stand. That Penina was punished, and yet she was doing L'shem Shemayim, the importance of Averis Ben Adam L'Chaver. And he doesn't bring this down. There's also an interesting Gemara in Yoma. There's a Gemara in Yoma about an individual, Talmud Chacham, that would only come home on Erev Yom Kippur. Right? Once a year, so the Gemara says. Whatever, an interesting situation. But his wife used to always wait, like at a certain corner, relatively famous piece of Gemara, waiting for him to come. And she would always anticipate every year that this is when he would come. And one year, for whatever reason, he couldn't make it. He was busy, as the Gemara says, engaged in learning, whatever. It was a difficult sugya. And he just couldn't make it home that year. And the Gemara says, as soon as a single tear went on her cheek, the walls of the Beis Medrash collapsed on him and he died. So on that, again, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says that makes no sense. She was so upset. Why was she sad? She was sad because she wanted to see her husband. He didn't come. The last thing she would ever want is for her husband to have died. But that's the idea. An aver ben adam lechaver, if you harm another person, just like sticking your hand into a flame, you're going to be punished. And therefore, that's the significance as well over here of Penina. Okay. With that said, let's look at this pasuk one more time before we stop. I want to see pasuk vav. Excuse me, pasuk zayin. I'm sorry, pasuk zayin. V'chein yaseh shana b'shana midi aloso v'veis Hashem. Interesting. Now, when was it? What was that? Oh, every year.
Not moed l'mayom yamim. This is happening every year. They're not saying it's happening every moed. This is
right.
Every year.
But what's fascinating, in addition to that point, which is a very good point, that the change, is when did she provoke Chana? Not when she was in a home or when she was preoccupied doing a laundry or something. It was Beves Hashem. She specifically only provoked Chana when she was at a place where she could daven. And therefore that maybe is the reason why Chazal say that that's what she wanted to accomplish. She wanted to get her to to daven. And therefore, it was only Beves Hashem that she provoked her and nowhere else. It sounds like Penina. Ah, right. V'chenya, this is Elkanah. This is what they would do. What does it say? Elkanah, right?
You know, it's very weird.
But
every year he went up.
So let's look at that Radak. You're right, it is strange because the Radak actually seems to imply
what she's doing. And how she repeats it, but it is V'chen Yase. He's the V'chen.
Right, sounds like it's a connection to the previous pasuk.
The pasuk mixes genders because V'chen Yase Shana V'Shana Midei Alota.
Right.
He did it at the time that she brought up.
Right. So let's see maybe the Radak points that out. So V'chen Yase, which is not underlined, the second wide line. Elkanah Haya Osekein Shana B'Shana. He did this every year, it says. And then it's Alus Beis Hashem Im Beiso. So he went not only by himself in his house. Upanina Gamkein Haisa Machisa Chana B'Chol Pam Midi Alus Beis Hashem. Every single time, because the whole family went up, she did this. So the pasuk has those two Lashon Zachar and the Keva, because it's really talking about both. It's talking about Elkanah went up every year, and he went up with his family, and when they went up with his family, this is what Penina did, specifically B'Veis Hashem, to provoke her. Does that make sense? That's what the Radak sounds like, so it's really both.
He's combining two things were happening at the same time.
Right.
Elkanah went up every year.
And why is it Midei Olos of B'Veis Hashem? It's very weird. I mean, he's so that's how he would go when he would go up. Our sheep and Nina would go up with Beis Hashem. They all went up. But,
yeah, but
so it means that she wouldn't go up. Maybe it's the only time they met each other. I mean, for me, it's almost like Bashad would be here, that that's the only time they came in contact.
Right. But
that's the only time that Han and Nina actually had some interaction.
Or negative interaction, at least. Maybe they were. They were.
Why would that be negative interaction after that time?
The Beis Hashem, because that's when she wants her to daven.
Whenever they walk,
but what's the difference if she wants to daven the Shiloh, what she could daven now?
We just saw the Beis Hashem. She went by herself. So what was Penina doing? She was going to the Beis Hashem.
Yes,
they were going. No,
the whole family was there. But when they were there, Penina was doing her thing.
That's what the Radak sounds like, right? She was doing this.
He says that pretty specifically.
Right.
He says, "V'chein yaseh Elkanah who also came to a shana b'shana lados Beis Hashem in Beito with his house. That means including
his whole family,
his wife, children,
everything, and his donkeys. Penina gam hoya so chana kol pam b'shem dam penina also who Beis Hashem."
That's how the Radak interprets this. Okay, and again, she started crying, and based on her crying, now we see what Elkanah responds. Let's just conclude with one more pasuk. V'yomer Elkanah Isha. So Elkanah, her husband, said, "Chana, lama tivchi? Why are you crying?" Which is pretty unbelievable. How he doesn't realize he just gave. As according to we just saw before, right, specific amount.
He was angry of God because he didn't think. Now he's telling
him what. So what do you mean? Why are you crying? He should know why she's crying.
He's going to finish up the pasuk.
Let's finish it up. V'lame lo sochli. So why aren't you eating? Why did you lose your appetite? V'lame yero levavech. Why is bad and negative in your heart? Hello, Anochi Tovla, Miasar Banim.
Don't cry.
I care about you more than even 10 children. So she was looking at Penina with all these children all around her, and Elkanah saying, "I care about you even more than all those 10 children."
But then that could even make it even worse.
Yeah.
Penina would get crazier.
It's not going to take
when she hears that. I love you more than I than you did
yeah,
that joke.
You may not have even heard that, but that's not going to make her feel better.
No, I'm looking at what happened. She, you know, that she, yeah, she did hear.
Even if she didn't hear, it's not going to make Hannah feel better. How's that going to make Hannah feel better? That
she still wants
she
kids.
Wants her kids.
I mean, I think that it reflects a cardinal insensitivity of a husband, because if any husband ever tried going over to his wife and expressing something to her, that expressed to him that they're saying, you know, you're giving too much attention to the kids. I'm jealous. She's paying more attention to me. That is a very serious mistake for any husband to make.
The biggest mistake a husband can make is if wife is crying, to say, why do you cry?
That's
you
right.
Have no reason to cry.
That's right.
Yeah. So we'll have to get to that. We'll have to explain that.
You know, we're so smart. We're all so smart. We're in the house. Yeah. We're not so smart.
No, we are smart. When they just make it dumb, that's all.
When it came to some, there's going to be two answers that I have. One is that's brought down in Parshas Vayetzeh that when we find with Yaakov and Rachel. That Rachel couldn't have children. Unfortunately, Leah had so many children, and she said, "Im ein mesa anochi. If I can't have a child, I'm like I'm dead." Mm-hmm. And then he started getting mad at her. So that's questions exactly what was going on.
Well, because she says, "Hava li banim." She says, "Like I'm saying, it's up to you." It's not, you know.
Okay, that could be. That's
you do it.
Right, and so he wanted her to intervene to daven. That's one explanation. Others explain like this. That when it comes to a woman, Ish, there's just two names, Isha and Chava. Isha means that she comes from a man, and Chava means that she's an Eim Kol Chai. So therefore, a woman has two elements, an Eim Kol Chai, that she's going to someone who potentially can have a child, but she's also Isha. She has the same abilities and certain strengths as a man, right? And therefore, this is how some interpret it, that what was Yaakov was saying to Rachel, and maybe what Elkanah was saying to Chana was, I know you can't have children, I know it's devastating, but you should not feel that you are worthless. You're not worthless. I understand you can't have children, but there's so much more to you than just being able to have a child. You yourself are greater than 10 children. So don't just look at, I'm worthless because I can't have a child. Look at all the great things that you can contribute,
you
even though you can't have a child.
You think that's going to placate a woman? Honestly?
Probably not.
I think the rabbi has held notes because he gave this shiur before to the women, so I think he's just using it. I think you're using the women's notes.
Well, that's one answer.
Women's lid in times of feminism, of course it would placate a woman.
Well, it's interesting, you know, in light of that. A few weeks ago in your drasha, you gave statistics of the number of women who choose not to have children.
Yes.
Which is startling, you know, compared to, you know, at this time in history, the biggest disgrace to a woman was not to have children.
But this is only, you're talking statistics here in America.
Right.
It's not worldwide.
It's not worldwide, and it's not this epoch.
Look, if you play around with the trope and you put the word Isha,
yeah,
in a different context over here, it becomes Vayomer Elkanah, Isha Chana.
You got the Ish part in you.
Beautiful.
Isha Chana.
Very good.
Lufki, what are you crying for? You got that string.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's wrong, I think.
You don't have to say
by
that.
By the trough, it's wrong, right. For sure.
that's still nice. It's a nice drasha.
Drasha.
All right. So the Alkit says another pshat over here. He says, he breaks up each part that he was saying something behind the words, between the lines. Lama Sivchi, when he says, why are you crying? What he was saying was, Sara Shahaisa Akara, Sara also, Sari Menu was barren. Kachaisa Yosheves, Ruvoicha Kol Yom. Is this how she sat and cried all day? Velama Lo Sochli, when it says, why are you not eating? Elo Rivka, she says, how about, he was referring to Rivka, Shaisa Akara, she also couldn't have a child. Kachaisa Osa, this is what she did. She didn't just not eat and just get all depressed. She did something about it. What did he mean when he said that? The third, who could not have a child, namely Rachel, she did not sit by herself and wallow in depression. And therefore, the idea of, according to this Yalkut, is that he was saying, based on the nes that happened to our imahot, that even though they were barren, somehow Kodesh Baruch was able to listen to their tefillos, you should also be mispalel, similar to what Penina was saying in the previous pasuk, and therefore Be'ezras Hashem, Hashem should also listen, and you should be zechut to a child. So that's another explanation of the Yalkut. Okay. Let's stop here, guys.